song that we just sang says that we really believe that we're headed for heaven. We're living in such a way that the Lord is going to be pleased with our lives. By His grace, He is going to save us, and that we plan to be in heaven when this life is over. And that's the assurance that we are to have. And it certainly is a good song, and it's one that should spur us on to want to live better for the Lord, to be what He would have us to be. It's good to be with you this morning. Appreciate so much your being here. Bob Brooks mentioned in his prayer that Josh was baptized this past week, Wednesday evening after services. Josh Baldwin, who is the son of Tony and Felicia Baldwin, grandson of Felix and Odessa, was baptized into Christ. And we certainly rejoice with him and his family, and want to, as Bob mentioned in his prayer, encourage him as he's already been an encouragement to us. And we just appreciate his commitment to the Lord, and we want to help him to serve God in that respect. I'd like for us to think this morning about learning to love. We talked last Sunday night, learning to lean. We sing a song sometimes, learning to lean on Jesus, and then we've added a verse, learning to love like Jesus, and that's sort of the idea that I had in mind when I started this lesson. And so we're going to talk about learning to love. In the book of John, in chapter 13, Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, was in the upper room with His disciples. And there in verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this all men will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another." And so we need to learn to love like Jesus. When we think about the love of God and we think about the love of Jesus, it tells us that love serves others. Love is not just a feeling. Many times we get this idea in our minds that love is this feeling that we have, and so people talk about, you know, they fall in love and fall out of love, and that's not even kin to this kind of love that the Bible is talking about. There is a Greek word that is, it comes, eros is the word, it comes, the word we get erotic from, and it's a sexual love, and it's used a few times in the Bible, but that's not this kind of love at all. What he's talking about here is a love that cares so much that it's willing to serve no matter what. This is the kind of love that a mother has for a baby. This is the kind of love that prompts parents to walk the floor all night long and never complain about it. This is the kind of love that causes us to do whatever we can for others. And so love truly serves others. In John 13, going back to the very first verse of that chapter we read from the latter part of it a minute ago, but going back to the very first verse of that chapter, reading through verse 10, we read, "Now before the Passover feast, Jesus, knowing that His hour had come, that He should depart out of this world to His Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments, and taking a towel, He girded Himself about, and He poured water in a basin, and He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded." You know why Jesus did this? He did this to teach them a lesson, but He also did it because He loved them. And so He begins to wash their feet. So He came to Simon Peter and He said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered and said, "What I do now you do not realize, but you shall understand hereafter." And Peter said, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "I do not wash you. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And Simon Peter said, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you're clean, but not all of you." Love serves others. In 1 John chapter 3, this love is demonstrated by John as he writes in verses 17 and 18. He says, "Whoever has this world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us love not with word or let us love with let me start over, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and truth." Jesus is saying here that if we're going to have God's love in us, and this is the kind of love that Jesus has, if we're going to have God's love in us, then we're going to have the love that doesn't just say, I love you, but it's the kind of love that acts. It serves. It's the kind of love that sees someone in need and we help them. It's the kind of love that is willing to give of ourselves and do for others. I had a discussion with my grandson yesterday, and we were talking, and he said, you know what, it's better to give a present than it is just to buy. I said, yeah, you're right. And Jesus said it's better to give than it is to receive it. And so, demonstrating how not too smart I am, he convinced me to get on the trampoline with him. And I was explaining to him that that hurts my knees and I can't do that very good. And I had to quit, and so I quit. And after a few minutes, I got back up and I started again. He said, Daddy, Granddaddy, I thought that hurt and you weren't going to do it. And I said, well, I wasn't, but I decided to do it again. He said, why? I said, well, that's the giving I was talking about earlier. I said, you know, we have to give for people that we love. We do things. He said, yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier. And I said, yeah. You see, we do sometimes things that we wouldn't do for anybody else because we love them. And if we really love one another, Jesus said, here's how you can know my disciples. They love each other. And if we really love, then we're going to supply one another's needs without complaining. We're going to do it without grumbling about it. And we're not going to talk about, oh, look how tired I am and I've got to carry this meal over so-and-so's house. I had to work all day long and now I've got to go cook something. No. It's the kind that says, here's a need. It may be mowing a yard. It may be painting the shutters. It may be doing anything, whatever it is. It may be vacuuming a floor. It may be anything. It may be money. Whatever it is, we are going to be willing to give to one another because we truly love each other. It's easy to say, I love you. But genuine love serves. In Galatians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10, Paul says, let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so we have this love for one another, and so we serve each other. In James 1:27, James says, pure religion and undefiled. If you want to know what real religion is, he said, this is pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. It is to visit orphans and widows in their distress. Keep oneself unspotted from the world or unstained from the world. James is saying here that what we have is we have a genuine love for each other. And because we have that love for each other, we are willing to give of ourselves and to serve one another. And so love serves others. But we must love God first. Our love for God must exceed every other love in our lives. In Matthew 22 and verses 35 through 39, one of the Jewish people there, one of the Pharisees, came to Jesus. He was a lawyer, and he asked him a question, testing him. He said, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and prophets. In other words, everything that God has told us depends on these two things. Love God first and love our neighbor next. That's what it's all about, serving God. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things you need to be taken care of. You see, the point that He is making here is that we have a priority in our lives, and that priority is we love God and we want to please Him and we want to live for Him and we seek His righteousness and we seek His kingdom and because we want to serve Him. In 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, John says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Here's the opposite side of that. We're to love the Lord God with all of our heart and soul and mind. And John says, if we love the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world, and the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. You see, we are not to love the things of this world. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the day-to-day things of this world so that we love these things rather than truly loving God. But we are to love God first above everything else. And if we really love God, then Paul says in Romans 12 in verses 1 and 2, he says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that is, demonstrate, show what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. But if we don't love God first, we will never be able to give ourselves as a sacrifice to Him. In Colossians 3, and verses 1 through 11, Paul says, if then you've been raised up with Christ, and the word if here is not maybe you have and maybe you haven't. It's really the word since you have been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Paul is saying here that my life is all bound up in serving God, in serving Jesus Christ. That's what I'm living for. He says, I just live for this, and this is what we are to do. We set our minds, our hearts, our affections on God and on the things that are above, so much so that we love God more than anything else, and then we want to be what He wants us to be. We want to live for Him. If we do that, He says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body is dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it's on account of these things the wrath of God will come, and in them once walked when you were living in them. Now you put them all aside. Anger and wrath and malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with his practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the One who created Him. You see, if we really love God, we're going to get rid of all those things. We're going to live for Him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave and free man. But Christ is all and in all. That's what it's about. If we really love God, then Christ Jesus is everything to us. Sometimes we sing a song that says, He is my everything, He is my all. And that's what this verse is saying. So we must have a love for God. If we're going to learn to love, then we know that love serves. Love loves. Love puts God first. But love is forgiving. Probably one of the most difficult aspects of love is being able to forgive. You remember John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God wants to forgive us, and because He loves us so much, He gave His Son to die for us. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, He says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son, or sent His Son, to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also are. You know, God loves us so much, He's willing to give His Son so that He can forgive us. That's how much He wants to forgive us. And because of that, He says, you ought to love one another like this so that you'll be willing to forgive each other. In Luke 23, verses 33 and 34, taking Jesus out to crucify Him, and it says they came to the place called the Skull. There they crucified Him, the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. I want you to think about what's going on. Here Jesus is being carried out. He's been mocked. He's been spit on. He's been slapped. He's been beaten. He was forced to carry his cross to the point that he was so exhausted he gave way under it, and they forced somebody else to carry it up the hill for him. Now they reach this place and they are crucifying Jesus, the Son of God, between two criminals as though he were one of them. And Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." But look what the soldiers are doing. They were casting lots to divide his garments. Totally oblivious to the Son of God dying on that cross. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing." And if we're going to love like Jesus, if we're going to learn to love and have the love of God in us, then we're going to have to be willing to forgive even when it's not easy. I had somebody not long ago telling me that they had forgiven somebody and they said it wasn't easy to do because they had done me wrong for many years. But I knew that if I wanted to do what was right, I had to forgive. That's exactly what this is saying. In fact, Jesus said we don't really have a choice in this. Paul says in Ephesians 4, verses 30 through 32, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." And Jesus said you don't really have a choice. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12. There in teaching His disciples to pray in what we normally call the Lord's Prayer, He said, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." And if you drop on down a couple of verses, He says in verses 14 and 15, "For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." He says you're not going to have forgiveness if you're not willing to forgive. And genuine love is forgiving. Love serves others, and we love God first above everything else, and love does forgive. And when we learn to love like Jesus, we love truth. We love the Word of God. We love doing the will of God. In John 14, still that same night, Jesus said to His disciples in verses 20 through 24, "In that day you shall know that I am in My Father, and you in Me, and I in you. He who has My commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves Me. And he who loves Me shall be loved by My Father, and I will love him and will disclose Myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, "Lord, what then has happened to those? What has happened that you are going to disclose Yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said, "If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love Me does not keep My words, and the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me." Too often people think, you know, if I go to church regularly, that's what it's all about. That's not what it's all about. If I'm a member of the church, that's what it's all about. That's not what it's all about. When we're saved, God adds us to His church and He expects us to assemble with the saints. And that's a part of what He wants us to do. But being what God wants us to be means that we are changed from within. And we have God's love in us so much so that it just runs over on everybody around us. And so we have this love. And we love God so much that we want to do whatever we can to please Him. Because we love Him more than anything else. And so if we love God, we keep His commandments. 1 John 2, verses 4 through 6, "The one who says, 'I have come to know Him,' does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has been truly perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk in the same manner as He has walked." 1 John 5, verses 2 through 3. "By this you know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome." Love serves others. We've got to love God first. More than anything else. Love is forgiving. When we learn to love like Jesus, of truth. We love the Word of God. We love doing the Word of God. This morning, do you love God? If you love God, then you need to be serving Him. But if you're not serving Him, then John says, you've just fooled yourself into thinking that you love God because you really don't. But if you really love God and you're not a Christian this morning, you can come to Him because He loves you. And He wants to forgive you. If you're willing to confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, to turn away from your sin and repent of it, be buried in baptism. And He's promised to forgive you of everything you've ever done wrong. He's promised to give you His Spirit to live in. And He'll give you a home in heaven. If you're hearing your subject to His invitation, won't you come as we stand?